Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, our incarnate Lord, born as a king, omnipotent as a weak baby, glorious in your infancy. We praise you and we bless you this day. And as we sing your glory, we pray that now you would be with us as we meditate on your word, that your spirit that was also with you from the beginning would be with us to open our ears, open our hearts, to stir our passions and our devotions towards your glory. So may your word go forth and accomplish that which you've purposed for it today in us. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So I want to look today at our gospel lesson from John chapter 1. We could spend months going through the theological and gospel-filled riches of this passage. I want to just look at one verse today. It's familiar to us, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And as John is, as is typical of John, we know the story of the stable, the animals, no room at the inn, Mary and Joseph come, Jesus is born, choirs of angels sing to the shepherds, kings see the star and come to worship. All of that is going on, but John gets to the heart of what is really happening. In the background of all of this is the Word has become flesh. The Word that John tells us was in the beginning, was with God, who was God. By him all things were made. Without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's the Word that has now become flesh. This is John's retelling of the Christmas story in one verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, one of my favorite analogies of recent years that I've come across for the incarnation, there's a lot of analogies of the incarnation. Some are good. Some are not. One of the favorite ones that I've come across is of an author writing himself into the story. So, as you know, I have to bring Lord of the Rings into this. So you imagine J.R.R. Tolkien, who was a master at building this world of Middle Earth, that he, over the course of decades, you know, Lord of the Rings started because Tolkien was such a nerd that he made up his own languages. He made up these languages and said, oh, these are good. I should build a story on these languages of Elvish and Dwarvish and Entish and all of these things. So he built this world with its languages, with its different peoples, with the cultures within different people groups, with the geography of the land that played so big into his story. Tolkien built this world in a similar way to how God created this world. And what if into that world that Tolkien wrote and created, he wrote himself as a character? What if he wrote himself into the story as a character that had his name, his likeness, his personality, and that played a key role in the plot? In a similar way, the one who created this world, the one who is the author of all things, has inserted himself into the story as the central character around which the whole narrative revolves. He is the hinge point of the story. That Jesus Christ, the Word, has become flesh. He was the creator. He is the sustainer of all the universe. and he has inserted himself into our story, his story, the one that he made. And it's worth pondering and thinking about the fact that while he inserted himself into the story as a character, he still exists as the author. He is still the Word that is creating and sustaining the whole universe. And fascinating to think about, as an infant born in that stable, into that poverty, Jesus, the Word, was still sustaining the world. He, in his weakness as a baby, couldn't speak and communicate. He couldn't crawl. He couldn't walk. He couldn't accomplish anything. Yet he is still all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, sustaining all that is as the Word. He is fully God, fully man. The Word does not cease being the Word when he is made incarnate. He doesn't cease holding the world together when he becomes flesh. But he has written himself into the story and taken on the flesh of his own creation. We're told that the Word has come, he has become flesh and dwelt among us. That he has come to live among us, to abide among us, to be with us. That promise of Emmanuel fulfilled in his birth. He became like us so that he could be with us. Excuse me. That the glory of God came into our midst was the greatest miracle, the hinge point of all of history. But it is not the first time that God has dwelt with his people. The word here that John uses for dwelt, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, the word literally means God pitched his tent. The word pitched his tent among us. The Greek word is skenao. It's not a common word. John chose it intentionally. There are other words he could have used to mean dwell or abide or live with, but he chose this word, skenao, to pitch his tent. And a lot of scholars think that's a pretty clear allusion, a reference to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting in the Old Testament that God directed his people to make so that he could dwell with them. Some translations of the New Testament you might be familiar with actually say that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Because this is such a direct allusion, pitching a tent to dwell as God did in the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of the Old Testament. So let's reflect a little bit on the tabernacle. If you remember the Old Testament and how God brought the people out of slavery in Egypt, he redeemed them, called them his own people, and then said, I want you to build me a dwelling place among you. At this point, the people of Israel were a traveling people. They were nomadic. So they built this tent that was portable. They could pick it up and move with them. But God directed them how to build the tabernacle. It was a copy of the throne room in heaven that was come down, descended to be in the midst of the people of Israel. That the glory of God was in their midst, but with limited access. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies once per year to make sacrifices. But nevertheless, the people of Israel knew what a privilege and honor it was for God himself to be dwelling among them. That God had pitched his tent in their presence in order to be with them, in order to guide them and protect them and to bless them. So God had pitched his tent before in the midst of this nation, that the glory of God was localized, manifested in the tabernacle. Now, the Word himself has become flesh, pitched his tent in a new way in the midst of the people of Israel, this time with the intention of blessing all the nations. This time, the glory of God is made manifest in the presence of ordinary people in a way that was accessible to all. That the glory of God could be touched, could be spoken to, could be embraced, walked with, laughed with, cried with. God has come among us in Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh, the glory of God in the midst of people. The glory of God was localized and manifested among humanity. That Jesus in Christ, Jesus himself is the tabernacle, the temple of the presence of God that has come among humanity. Remember, Jesus identified himself as the temple. Tear down these walls and I will rebuild them in 3 days, he said, speaking about his body. He is the temple, the dwelling place of God, the presence of God in our midst. And he became flesh in order to save us. He took on flesh so that he could redeem flesh. St. John Chrysostom said this, "For he became Son of Man, who was God's own Son, in order that he might make the sons of men to be children of God." Or as other people have summarized, the Son of God became man so that men could become sons of God. The Son of God became man so that men and women could become children of God. He was fully God, yet fully man, so that he could be the perfect Savior that we needed. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. We have seen and known the glory of his salvation that he has won for us. And this happened a long time ago. This happened 2,000 years ago that John is speaking of, the Word that became flesh, that Christ was born as a baby in a barn to Mary and Joseph, shepherds, angels, kings. All of that happened so long ago on the other side of the world. But even now, for us, Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, has been made manifest and localized in each one of us. That the Word dwells in us. Not just a man who lived and died and lived again 2,000 years ago, but the Word now dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. That we have become the tabernacle of God, God's temple for his holy dwelling. That we are the bearers of his glory in this world. That we are the place where flesh meets the glory of heaven in us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, who is now the Spirit, dwells in our flesh. And we have seen his glory. We can know his glory that lives and dwells in us. And one day, we're told in Revelation, God will pitch his tent among us permanently. I told you that word skenao is a rare word, that John, the apostle, also uses it in Revelation. When he hears from the throne in Revelation 21, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." Or you could translate it, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." When Jesus himself returns in the flesh and comes again to make all things new, that the presence of God will no longer just be localized, it will be universal. It will fill all the universe of this new heavens and the new earth that he will make. And we get a foretaste of this here and now. We can know here and now the glory of God in us, as the glory of God will fill all of the new heavens and the earth as God tabernacles permanently and fully with humanity. This is the Christmas message, that the Word has become flesh and made his tabernacle among us. This is the gift of Christmas that we have been given. And John is telling us that all that we need to do is receive him. Verse 12, he says, "For those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." That by receiving the Word who has become flesh, receiving him into our flesh, our hearts, our spirits, we can become the children of God. We can be made new. We can get a foretaste of the glory of the new creation in the here and now. This is the great gift of Christmas that was made for us. Last night we had our staff and clergy Christmas party, which was a great time. As part of that, we did a white elephant gift exchange, which can have its surprises. The gift that I grabbed was a wonderful, lovely gift of some pink socks and some sweet-smelling body lotion and a very nice bar of soap. It was a gift that was not meant for me, and a gift that I could not convince someone else to steal. So now it belongs to my wife. But it was a great gift, but one that was not intended for me. That's how white elephant gifts go. That's the risk that you take and part of the fun of it. The gift of Christmas. This is the gift that you were born for, that you were made for, that God has given for you, for your sake, that you and I might become children of God, that we might get a foretaste of the glory of eternity as the Word who has become flesh, dwelling among us, dwelling in us, ushers us into his eternal glory. This is the promise of the gospel. This is the promise of Christmas, that God has taken on flesh in order to save us. He has accomplished all that is needed for our salvation. And all that we need to do is receive him by faith. And by his grace, may we do so with his joy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your gracious presence that dwells among us. And we pray for the grace even now to cultivate in our hearts, in our minds, and even in our bodies, a greater awareness of your presence, a greater awareness of your glory, a greater awareness of the salvation that you have won for us, the privilege of being called children of God. So bless us now, Lord, with deeper faith to receive you all the more, to rejoice in your presence, and to glory in the salvation you have won for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.